Good morning, everyone. This is Larry Phillips, and today is the 17th of August, 2018, and I've been thinking a lot about relationships. You know, this is a very difficult time to have relationships with people. Why is that? Because people are not used to being accountable with each other. Now, everybody has a different perception of what accountability is, of course. Good morning, Evans. And good morning, Ayola. And Ms. Masikwa. Kenneth. Everyone has a different perception of what actually accountability is. I have been amazed how little reciprocity there is in relationships. People kind of have the attitude that it's either me or the highway, don't they? It's like, as long as you're willing to cowtail to me, then we can have a relationship. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome aboard. I see that very apparent in people who call themselves pastors. Okay. I don't call myself a pastor. Okay. I don't like to take on titles because the moment a person starts giving themselves a title, oftentimes they get the big head. And it's better just to, you know, my name's Larry. That's about it. Okay. But the thing that I think is hard, though, when you have a worldwide forum like we have on Facebook, and if you've been on here for a while, it's really hard to have quality relationships because there's so many people. And that often concerns me. I'd like to be able to talk to each one of you personally, but it's just an impossibility. And so what I try to do is I try to talk in the mornings in a way that I would be talking to you personally if we were to sit down and have a cup of coffee or cup of hot tea. Right now I'm having a cup of hot lemon tea. But anyway, I just want you all to know that if it seems like it's hard to develop a relationship with someone where there's reciprocity, don't feel bad. Because I have the same challenges. People want you to be accountable to them, but they don't want to be accountable to you, right? And that's really, really tough because you're looking for people who you can have reciprocity with. That's when Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's exactly what he meant. Love is a two-way street. You know, it's not unilateral, it's bilateral in relationships. And I've had many people that they're willing to have a relationship, okay, as long as I meet their conditions as it relates to churches, as long as I give them money, as long as I show up and sit under their feet every week, as long as I obey their rules of decorum, okay, and as long as I do this and as long as I do that, the moment I ask some reciprocity, in other words, why don't you come down and worship with us? Or I'm bringing a special speaker in. Let me know when be a good time. It's a different story, isn't it? They want total control. You know, I've had the same situation on talk programs that I've sponsored. I'll bring people in and I'll invite them to speak. And what's so interesting is that the moment that I bring another speaker in to speak, they're out of here. Okay. And so I've been trying to bring other people into the forum. We're going to be having a talk show on Sunday night, and Christopher Durnan is going to be speaking about what happened in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and the history thereof. And on Monday night, we're going to have a special speaker, Kevin McHugh. Kevin now has his own Facebook program. But he's going to be continuing his study on the Samaritan woman. And then the following next Monday night, we're going to be having Edward Henry back, who's an author and written several books. And he's going to be talking about a subject that I find very interesting. There's a group of people on YouTube that are basing their theology on near-death experiences. And they're saying that a person can lose their salvation. Now, that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. The Bible says that that He's given unto us eternal life, not temporary life. Okay? He's given unto us eternal life. Does that mean that we won't at times falter and fail and backslide? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean for the Christian that we will persevere in our faith. We will, God will bring us to repentance when we do sin. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that He is able to keep us from falling and to present us spotless. I'm reading from Jude. He will present us spotless. Now, this morning, as you all know, I like to read from this Daily Light. And this is a compilation of scriptures taken from the New International Version of the Bible. And I always like to read through it because whoever put this together obviously understood the Bible very well. It says, this is taken from Genesis 18. Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, will thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." Well, he's speaking here of when God told Abraham that He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the evilness there. Now notice in the 17th chapter of John, Christ speaking says, "Father, forgive them, for they know." I'm sorry, this is actually in the, it's taken from Luke 23:34. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." But in John, the 17th chapter, Jesus is now praying to His Father. He says, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for Thou art Thine." Welcome aboard Lisa and Malon and Laura and Iqbal. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Well, you know, we need to pray for each other. You guys, I hope you all will pray for me, and you all are in my prayers. There's a lot of needs represented in the people that fellowship here in the morning in this devotional time. And I get a number of prayer requests, and I want you to know I do pray for all of you. And you're in my thoughts and prayers daily. There was a gentleman yesterday that requested prayer because his son, his young son, is in the hospital. And we never know what we're going to have to go through in life. And sometimes our family issues have become almost insurmountable. If it wasn't for our the faith that Christ has placed within us, we would be almost desperate, wouldn't we? Tells us in Psalm 103, as for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So teach us to number our days, Psalms 90. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, it also says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. A lot of people use that scripture right there to try to shame you in not attending some kind of a denomination service. You know, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. So you don't have to be a member of a denomination. You don't have to be forced into their rules. And you don't have to subscribe to every little thing that a denomination purports. You know, Christ gives us liberty, and that liberty is to worship Him. Remember what He told the lady at Samaria? She said, well, you know, we Samaritans, you know, we don't have anything to do with the Jews. And he said, there will come a time when they will not worship in a building made with hands. They'll worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, there were a lot of house churches in the New Testament. They went from house to house, didn't they? And that's what some of the most beautiful fellowship I've ever had. Worshiping here with my family, in my home, around the Word of God, singing, making melody in our heart to God with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And sometimes we look around us and we see our world. I know we have people represented all over the world here. I happen to live in the United States, and I look at the United States the last 15, 20 years, and it's really sunken to a moral low. And I'm sure that's the same in maybe countries that you're living in. But you know what? We're told that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered into the ark. I'm working on this book entitled God Does Not Love Everyone, but He Does Love His Elect Eternally. And I'm thinking about a picture to put on the cover of the book. And my wife came up with what I thought was a great idea. Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. God did not love everyone. Okay, He destroyed the whole world with the flood, did He not? But yet He did save Noah and his family. And I'm not sure even everyone that was in the ark was one of his elect. Okay, that's another time for another discussion. But we know that Noah was, because Scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah preached 120 years. And no one listened to him, did they? Have you ever felt that way? Where you're preaching and you're not getting any response? Well, in Isaiah it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" God is the one that brings and quickens us, brings new life to us. It is not of the will of man. It's not the will of the flesh. But it's God that showeth mercy. So many times we think, well, we're going to have a revival. We're not going to have anything. We're going to conduct a camp meeting service. We're not going to do anything. If God is not present, it's all futile. It's all of none effect. People out there that say, well, we're going to have a great revival. God is the reviver. Man doesn't revive anything. Man can do nothing apart. Hold on a second. I can grab this. Grab this here. Okay. Stretch time. The lies of free will. Do you control your own destiny? That's the question. Do you control your own destiny? No, you don't. You did not. You had nothing to do with determining when you were born. You had nothing to do to determine who your parents are or were. You have nothing to do with who your siblings are, whether they're brothers or sisters. You have nothing to do with anything, really. It's all foreordained by God. You know, look at Joseph. Did he plan out his life? Did he determine that he would be sold into slavery? Did he determine that he'd be falsely accused and thrown in jail? Did he determine that he would find the favor of the keeper of the prison? Did he determine that he would reveal dreams unto Pharaoh and become next to Pharaoh in power? In all of Egypt? No. He didn't determine any of those things. See, everybody wants to report the lie of free will, but you control your own destiny by your own choices, by setting goals and all of this garbage. God is in control. You know, he has the whole world in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got you and me brother in his hands. He's got you and me sister in his hands. And once we get that straight, once we realize that he is the potter, we are the clay, then we can rightfully worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no greater love that Christ showed when he laid down his love for a friend. So this morning, let us realize that it's tough to have relationships in this time. We have a friend that's like a closer than a brother. And that is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that we look to for all of our sustenance. And all right, I'm going to read a couple poems out of this before we conclude. Poems for Edification, Volume 2. And I need to get my glasses back on here. This first one I'm going to read is entitled Master of the Sea. Christ awed the disciples when on the boat they saw the wind and tempest tossing and the raging of the sea. Then Christ said, "Peace be still," and it became calm as could be. "Who is this," they said, "that even the wind and sea obey him? The creator of the universe who had come to earth as man. Yet he was fully God, yet he was fully man. And he still holds the wind and sea in the palm of his almighty hand." Now I want to read this. This is entitled, "God Has His Remnant." God has his remnant. God has always had his people since the creation of the world. His purpose was redemption for them. That was why he sent his son. Sometimes it's hard to find them. They are scattered here and there. But when you find a like-minded believer, it's an answer to our prayers. We all need fellowship with those of like faith to share one another's burdens and then to our Heavenly Father take. Let's build one another up and not tear one another down. For when we do this, our Heavenly Father frowns. But he smiles and is delighted when we walk in the love of Christ. And having true fellowship with other believers is awfully nice. Final one tonight, or this morning, that I'm going to read is called Faith and Belief. "I'm glad that I don't have to trust in my own faith and belief. This certainly would not give me any relief. But to trust in the faith of Christ's dear Son, given to me by the Three in One. Oh, my friend, that brings comfort beyond description. That's part and parcel of the gift of salvation. To be given the faith of Christ and the merits of his Son, his faith never fails the victory he has won. His faith never has and never will fail or falter. His faith is stronger than the rock of Gibraltar." Well, I want to wish you all blessed in the Lord. Thanks for joining me. And be encouraged when you realize that we're living in a time where it's the me generation. And when it's hard to have reciprocal relationships with others, realize that you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God bless.